Okay, am I on now? I think I have low batteries. The things that you forget to check. Well, if it dies, we will figure it out. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Wade, you were talking about finding happiness. When I need to find happiness, I wear my bacon socks. So I'm wearing my bacon socks today, because bacon brings me joy. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 through 12. Now Jethro, a priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." And the other was named Eleazar, for he said, "My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' son and wife, came to him in the wilderness, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, I think I should be good now. All right. I apologize for that. We should write a book, you know, at some point about Drew's difficulties with microphones and music stands and our technology in general, which I am so thankful for these guys. I had hidden the microphone from them this week because I know that they usually check the batteries, and I kind of forgot to put it where it was supposed to be last week, and so it's 100% my fault. So I apologize for that. So we are in our sermon series going through the book of Exodus, talking about Moses. We've been introduced to Moses as this Israelite living amongst those who are enslaved to the Egyptians. And really, the entirety of Moses' life has been God interacting, interceding, and preserving Moses, moving him forward into becoming the Savior of the nation of Israel. And through God's power and leading, Moses does that. He leads the people out of Egypt. God sends plagues and convinces Pharaoh to set the Egyptians free, and then they cross the Red Sea, and the Israelites are able to cross safely, and the Egyptians are swept away. And we have this picture of what God's justice and salvation looks like, that he moves and works to save his people. And now we find ourselves with Moses and the nation of Israel, this massive group of people wandering in the wilderness. And we are in what I am calling a sermon series within a sermon series. Last week I shared that I was splitting what I intended to preach into two Sundays. Well, it's actually going to be three Sundays. And so this is a sermon series within a sermon series. This is Essentials for Healthy Faith Communities. Three Essentials for Healthy Faith Communities, which is a sermon series within our Moses sermon series, and so it's a Moses inception, Last week, we talked about how an essential for a healthy community of faith is that they rely on God's power. that as we seek to be a healthy community, a healthy body, that we rely on God's power. This week, we're going to be talking about how a healthy community shares the gospel. A healthy community of faith shares the gospel. Next week, it'll be a healthy community of faith shares ministry. And then at the end of that, of our series inside of a series, we're going to take a break from Exodus. The 22nd will be Confirmation Sunday, and I'll have a special sermon for that Sunday. And then the following Sunday, which is November 29th, is the first Sunday of Advent. We're already there. That sermon series is going to be the Voices of Christmas. But here we find ourselves this week with Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness. And they found themselves back at Mount Sinai, this mountain, or at the base of the mountain, really where Moses' journey began. This is the same area where God had appeared to him in the burning bush. So we see, just as God had said, that he was going to bring Moses back to this place. And so we find Moses and the nation of Israel here. And really, word is spreading all throughout the Sinai Peninsula, all throughout, all of the people there have come to hear what has happened with the Israelites, the defeat of the Egyptians. It was this, the Egyptians were this massive superpower, a nation to be feared, a nation to aspire to. Their wealth and really their culture, you know, was prominent, it influenced the entire world. And this nation has now fallen to Israel, this group of slaves led by a shepherd. And what's that? They have all of this wealth with them. And so we saw last week that the Amalekites have attacked them. And now this week we see that word has spread even to Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, a Midianite priest. And the Amalekites, who we just saw the Israelites fight and defeat, are really closely related to the Midianites. So Jethro would have had some kind of connection and close ties nationally with the Amalekites. The Midianites and the Amalekites were bordering nations, bordering people group, would have shared some common ancestry. And so we will see in this story that Jethro comes to faith in Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, and just how amazing that is for this Midianite priest, closely related to the armies that has just been defeated by the army of Yahweh, choosing to bow down and worship the same God. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brings Zipporah, Moses' wife, up with Moses' two sons to meet up with Moses. And we're not told exactly what had happened here. We're simply told that Moses had sent her away. And it's presumably to have kept her safe during what was happening in Egypt. That Moses, being called by God to stand in front of Pharaoh, the living God, and say, "Let my people go, or else all this bad stuff's going to happen to you." Moses had some faith, but was obviously nervous about his wife's safety, and so he sent her away. And now they are being reunited, really, at the place where it all began. And Moses' sons were named Gershom, which means foreigner, and Eleazar, which is God is my help. And really, we find that their names summarize Moses and what has happened, that Moses existed as a foreigner with God's help. And it really summarizes the story of the Israelites and us, strangers living in the land, dependent upon God for our salvation. And this is the only mention anywhere in the Bible of Moses' second son, Eleazar. God is my help. And really, the mentioning of his name is this reminder of the rekindling of Moses' faith, the change of his heart, in comparison with the despair that he had when he named his first son Gershom, foreigner, before all of this had begun. And Moses, hearing that Jethro is coming, goes out to meet him. And you'll notice the love and respect in these verses. We'll read verses 5 and 7, or 5 through 7. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and went into the tent. He bowed down and kissed him. It's with respect, with love, that he greets his father-in-law. These two really leaders kind of these superpowers. Because what we are learning here is that Jethro is not just a Midian priest, but he is the Midian high priest. That he is in charge of all of the priests of Midian. And then we have really Moses, who has become the leader of this great army, or what's becoming a great nation of Israel. So they show each other this kind of mutual respect, but really, even it's beyond that, a deeper, familiar, loving relationship. And Moses begins to share the good news, all that has happened with his father-in-law. He begins to give a firsthand account. And Jethro now believes in this God and begins to worship him. And his conversion would have been big news, really big news. I mean, being the chief priest, being the head of a nation's religious activities, for him to change faiths is significant. And really, this story should encourage us as believers to continue to share the good news with the people that we come into contact with, including family. That we share the good news because if somebody like Jethro, the high priest of another religion, friends with the army that you just defeated, can come to faith in God through the testimony of Moses, then people can come to knowledge and belief in God through our testimonies as well. So we ask the question, was Moses trying to convert his father-in-law? Was this his goal? Absolutely, yes. Moses was most definitely trying to convert his father-in-law. He was sharing with him the good news for a reason, for a purpose. He wanted to share with his father-in-law, and he wanted his father-in-law to come of faith as well. The defeat of the Amalekites, followed by the conversion of the Midianite high priest, they both demonstrate God's truth and power and his superiority over false gods and their adherents. So God has decimated Egypt and their false gods. That they refuse to listen, and God just decimates them. And now we have Jethro, a Midianite high priest, and he hears the story and he believes. Two very stark, contrasting images of how God defeats and demonstrates his superiority over false gods and their adherents, those who believe in them. And notice the summary of the good news in verse 8. Moses told his father-in-law everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. That's all the summary that we're provided with here. We can imagine that Moses would have spent a great deal of time recounting the story to Jethro. But notice this. Before, there was hardship. And now, after, there's deliverance. Before, hardship. After, deliverance. And really, this is the formula for testimony, for sharing the good news. That before, there was hardship, and now there is deliverance because of what God has done. God has brought us from death to life, and we should testify to this good news as well. That as Christians, as believers in the living God, and as believers in the sacrificial Lamb, the Lamb that has rescued us from death and provided us with life, we should be testifying to that, just as Moses did. In verse 10, Jethro said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Jethro was moved by the personal testimony of Moses, that it was so convincing. It provided him with so much evidence that he was willing to leave behind his high position, an entire nation of faith, and bow down and worship Yahweh. You see, Jethro knew Moses before the Exodus, and now he sees him after the Exodus. He sees the change that has taken place in his son-in-law. And that change that has taken place is enough for Jethro to say, "Yes, I believe in this God." Think about this now, that there are many hardships that we face in life, challenges. Think about the people who have known you before those hardships began, and the people that see you now that those hardships are over. Do they see the change in you? Do they see how God has moved and worked in your life? Jethro realized that the defeat of Pharaoh and the Egyptian nation was something that could have only happened through supernatural intervention. That there's no way that somebody like Moses, you know, this stumbling man of poor speech, this murderer, Moses, shepherd, he's the guy? No, it was God. It was a supernatural God who used somebody like Moses to carry out his plan. And Jethro demonstrates his faith, his newfound faith, and he worships. And he offers a burnt offering, which is really, we come to understand that burnt offerings were given as declaration of the sins that you've committed in the past, and that you're asking for forgiveness, that this is a change of heart, saying, "I want to move beyond my past and look to my future." And so you are burning the offering to God, that it goes away. So my encouragement for you this morning is to share the gospel. Healthy communities of faith share the gospel. How? Number one, be ready to testify to God's grace and salvation, just as Moses was here. What's your testimony? What is your story? What were your hardships that God has brought you through, and what does your life look like now? And so often when we speak of testimonies, we're talking about when we come to the faith. We talk about, well, my testimony is how God moved and worked in my life to come to, so that I have come to faith. And that's true. That is a testimony. But testimonies can also be how God is moving and working in your life right now, in the midst of the hardship that you're facing right now, and the hope that you have in Him because of the way that He has handled the hardships in your life previously. That can be a testimony to your God now. And we share those testimonies. And some people ask, you know, is my testimony good enough? You know, I don't have a testimony like Moses. You know, if I go to my father-in-law and I tell my story, it's not going to be like Moses' story. And I remember when we hosted short-term mission trips, we would be encouraging the groups of teenagers that came with us to be sharing their testimonies. And I remember one of the times we went to this shelter that was dealing with men who were struggling with drugs and alcohol, a Christian shelter, and these men after men would get up and they would talk about how they have escaped gangs and murder and you know, serious drugs, and how God did these amazing works, you know, overnight in their lives, and now they are drug-free and gang-free, and their court cases have gone away. And these kids would be like, I don't have a testimony like that. Well, let me tell you this. Whether Jesus came into your life at your first breath or 5 seconds ago, your testimony is powerful. And your testimony is powerful because it is the same God that is moving and working in each and every one of our stories. And His power doesn't change. So is your story good enough? Absolutely, because the God behind it is good enough. And if He chose to move and work in your life in that way, then most definitely your story is worth hearing. Please share it. Please share it. Number two, spread the gospel lovingly, with respect and warmth. We noticed how Moses met his father-in-law. Moses knew exactly where Jethro's faith was. Moses knew exactly what Jethro believed about God. And yet he greeted him exactly the same. He bowed down. He invited him to his tent and began to share with him the good news of what was happening in his life. You know, so often when we meet people of different faiths or really that are different from us, we like to highlight those differences. Well, you know, you believe this and I believe that, or whatever. I would encourage you instead to look for the commonalities. To look for the places where you can agree. With Moses and his father-in-law, it was that they loved one another. They had this mutual respect for one another. They were excited to hear about what was going on in each other's life. And out of that grew the opportunity to share the good news of what God was doing. Respect and warmth. Do you love them? Do you love the people that you are sharing the gospel with? Really, I mean, do you love them? And if you do, treat them like it. Treat them like you love them. Find ways to share in their life and allow them to share in your life. And then third, let's spread the gospel to the nations. You know, this story, God has demonstrated that He is the God of Israel, that He is moving and working in mighty ways to save and deliver Israel. but then we see how he moves and works in the life of Jethro, a Midianite. He's not an Israelite. He's from outside of the family of faith. And yet God moves and works in such a way that Jethro is invited in. And so this idea of sharing the Gospels to the nations is an idea that we talk of often. That we are to go into the world and share the good news. But remember this, in this story, Moses shared the gospel with the nations, but all he had to do was have a conversation with his father-in-law. And so sometimes taking the gospel to the nations means that we go across the world. And other times it means that we simply go next door. That we remember that the gospel isn't just for the people who think and believe and look like us. But the gospel is for everyone, no matter who they are, what they look like, or what they believe. That every single person deserves an invitation from us into the family of God. Healthy communities of faith share the gospel. Let's do that. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the way that you're moving and working in our church. I thank you that our church is so full of people who are already doing this. But Heavenly Father, I pray that you would make us better at it. Better at it individually and better at it as a church. That we would become better at sharing the way that you have moved and worked in our lives, and that that would spread outward from here into all the nations. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.